Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rest in power, DMX. Not too late now. It's past Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas trees are up.
I did it last night. Put up my Christmas tree.
No,
I put up my Christmas tree last night.
Okay, you didn't start wrapping Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
No.
Okay.
You have the fake?
We did the fake tree. We started a couple of years ago when I got a dog because I had this weird paranoia that the dog was going to pee on a real tree because she would get confused because we don't have any house plants. I'm not a plant mom. And so I thought she would get confused about a tree being inside and she would try to pee on it. I got the fake tree and she has no interest in it at
all.
The fake tree come with lights?
Yes.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's the best tree ever.
It takes so easy. It takes less than 10 minutes to put up.
Boom, boom, boom.
Then you don't dread at the end of the season taking it down and like having to vacuum 1,000 pine needles up for the next 3 months.
Amen.
I never thought that I would take the fake tree route, but it's just so much easier.
It's the best decision. Yep.
Very good. We have a lot to get to here in this final hour of Football Sunday. The first 2 hours just flew by today, as they often do. We will get to the top 10 list, which is coming your way at 12:20, and we will, of course, have our gambling segment at the end of the show, which Ted's going to stick around for. And thank God he is, because he's the only one of us who knows what he's talking about when it comes to betting on these games with his record this year. He's been incredible this year. Meanwhile, the rest of us are all toiling away. So we'll get to all of that a little bit later on, but let's reset here on our main takes of the day. Mego, these next three games, I know you think, even if they don't show out like they have been for most of this season, that it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I think going 1-2 across these next three games is not unreasonable, and it's kind of realistic. I'm not trying to like lower the bar of expectations for this team going into the playoffs, but you have a real reason if your offense falls off a little bit in this temporary time because of what's happening with your offensive line and those injuries. I don't think that the Giants are going to be a team that completely rolls over. They can put up points with Jackson Dart and they have a great pass rush. And then you see the Bills, who you already beat once this season, hard to beat them twice. And after that, you see Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and you have struggled to contain mobile quarterbacks this entire season when you've seen them. So all that to say, going 1-2 is not the end of the world to me. I think it's probably just a temporary rough patch that they could go through.
I would hate to go 1-2. I wouldn't like it at all. I would be very upset about it. I want them to continue playing well. You need to keep up this momentum, especially heading into the playoffs. You can't go into the playoffs like with a whimper, because then you just don't stand a chance. Mm-hmm. You don't have any hope, and you don't have a defense like Denver or Houston that scares people. And so I think that to me is even a bigger reason that this offense needs to find ways to continue churning even without their left guard and left tackle.
I think it's important. You use the word momentum, and I think that's the exact word. I think for this team in particular, momentum's very, very important going into the playoffs. With momentum, the 2018 Patriots kind of limped into the playoffs, but then we saw what happened. But that's a different DNA in that team versus this team. So
that was a team that had won 5 Super
correct.
Bowls.
So this team needs, I think I think two losses in the next three games would be, you know, we're talking three losses, we're talking two losses. I love all these scenarios, but I think that would be, for this team, not good.
Yeah, there's ways in which, and I said this around the Tampa Bay game. If they beat Tampa, like I was saying, there's no way that they could beat Tampa, and I'd say, oh, well, that wasn't a great win. Because
mm-hmm.
Tampa was a very good team. They were 6-2 at the time. Yep. Any way you beat that team is going to be a good win. Any way they lose to the Giants, I feel like, would be a bad loss.
Totally agree.
And I think that they could have, you know, any way they beat Buffalo the second time or beat Baltimore would be considered a good win, unless they have, like, bad injuries or something like that. But, like, the actual win, I wouldn't have any complaint about. And I could also, like, let's say Buffalo Josh Allen beats them in the fourth quarter on, like, a game-winning drive or, you know, Jackson or Henry or somebody gets them. In the Baltimore game, you look at that, you say, okay, this could have happened at some other point in the season. It's not the end of the world. I don't see that with the Giants. With no neighbors, without their, like, best players, like, it's hard for me to look at that Giants team and think, yeah, you know, they just got the better of you that day. Like, I wouldn't be okay with a loss to the Giants. The other two, I could, like, maybe talk myself into it.
I mean, this team fired its head coach midseason.
Right.
Like, it's just
a mess. And its defensive coordinator.
It's a mess. Like, don't lose to a team that is an absolute, dumpster fire right now.
And I think, like, we've been clamoring for a kind of like a blowout at some point over the last few weeks against these bad teams, but they've just kind of been getting the wins and getting out of there. This is the kind of situation where I would just be happy with wins and get out, right? You're kind of banged up right now. You're dealing with some injuries. You're trying to figure some things out. Just get the wins against a team you should beat. You should beat the New York Giants. As currently constituted, you're better than the Baltimore Ravens. Beat the Baltimore Ravens. And then if you lose to Josh Allen, okay, you lose to Josh Allen. It happens. That's fine. He probably has a really good game. If you can beat him, all the better. But, like, you should win 2 out of 3 over the next three stretches.
So if they beat the Giants, but then they lose the next two games, do you feel like they're going to look exposed a little bit?
Yeah, I become nervous. Because then, like, if you lose two in a row, then I don't think that game against Miami in week 18 is, all right, we walk in, get the win, walk out. Like, I start to become a little apprehensive. I get a little nervous, especially if they're losing because it's the defense or the offense can't get anything going. Like, I mean, both of those to me sound awful.
Is it bizarre or stupid if I think that if they lose to the Giants but then beat one of the next two teams that it feels better?
No, I don't think that's bizarre at all. Like I said, like
sometimes
I think
you lose to a bad team.
Depends how it looks. Depends how it looks, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes in weird situations, I mean, the Eagles lost to the Giants, right? It's possible anybody right. can yeah. lose to anybody. And then if you go to the bye week, come back from the bye week ready to go, and you kick the crap out of the Bills and Ravens, it's like, oh, I feel fine.
Why I don't want them to just trip up now is because the last two games are a cupcakes. You know, Miami and the Jets, and you can play guys, you can sit guys, you can kind of like navigate your way into the playoffs
yeah.
better if you've already got it kind of cinched up before those last 2 weeks.
Shime, why don't you believe in this Patriots defense?
I feel like they've let a lot of teams hang around the last couple weeks. They haven't really shut the door on them. You look at the Falcons, you look at the Buccaneers, even the Jets for a portion of time there, and then the Bengals last week. Like, even Joe Burrow was still trying to score to tie or win that game in the fourth quarter. And so I don't know that
they held them to 20 points, in fairness. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it's not
you
like
held
put-
you held the Bengals without Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow to 20 points.
Yeah.
Great. Good for you.
It's not a lot of points. It's not a lot of points.
What do you mean? That's 20 points. You should not be giving up more 20 points to Joe Flacco and T. Higgins and then Mike Gesicki.
It is 20 points, but it's how did they get the 20 points? Opening drive.
And one of them was a pick six, too, right? Wasn't it? Geno Smith?
Oh, yeah,
or
true.
Geno Stone? So,
yeah.
It was even less than that.
So, but opening drive, points. Poor execution before halftime. Gonzo gives up a touchdown to a four-stringer. Which was theoretically on the 17-yard line. So, again,
that was pretty
another,
I'll admit,
another,
that was,
another red
that
zone.
That was concerning.
Red
that was
zone tough, touchdown. Yeah. Sorry, cover your ears, Mago. Clavion Chase on, offsides, terrible, extended the drive.
Fourth
dumb.
Down.
So, the pass rush, non-existent.
Not enough
so
Steph
there's,
Diggs.
There's enough there on
in
defense.
In the show, either. It was his birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Stephon Diggs.
Sorry, continue.
You're good?
Continue,
no, it's just that there's enough on that just from the defensive performance. That has me a little bit nervous in that I know even though they only gave up so many points, it's when they gave up, the situations they gave up, who gave up the touchdown, are your best player on theoretically on defense. So there are reasons to be concerned.
And like I look back at that Jets game and you got them to punt quite a bit in that first half after an opening drive touchdown,
right.
by the way. You got them to punt a couple times, but there were multiple drives where I felt like the Jets were moving and then just kind of screwed things up. Like they had opportunities there that I think better teams take advantage
of. Should have been more three and outs.
Yeah, if that's Josh Allen, he might take more advantage of that, and you might not get those punts, and you might not dominate them quite the way you want. And so I put this team on fraud watch, or the defense in particular on fraud watch. I just don't know, especially with Milton Williams being injured, exactly how good they are. And I need them to show me something, especially with Buffalo and Baltimore coming up over the next couple weeks.
The Patriots, I know this is going to sound dumb, but like the Patriots defense seems like they're on the field a lot more than they are. Like they won time of possession in that game against the Bengals, but it felt like the defense was just constantly on the field. And it seemed like they were, you know, struggling to stop that run game and to contain, you know,
Chase
some of
Brown was really good.
Brown was all over him, and I feel like he was picking up first downs when he needed to. And I know, I mean, listen, I'm talking about like the way something felt as opposed to what the numbers say, but I do think that this defense has had trouble sort of shutting the door in those situations. That's been the truth.
And you look at Tyrone Tracy last week against the Lions, looked really good. He only had 62 yards, but he looked really good. I just think that you need to be very cognizant of these running backs going forward, because without Williams, you've already shown against Chase Brown they can run on you, and you need to be prepared for that.
All right, Teddy, this AFC is wide open as ever.
Yeah, it is, and it's because the standard stalwarts are struggling this year, that being the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Ravens in particular. And then with the latest news about Daniel Jones's leg, a broken fibula?
Correct.
In his leg, he's going to play somehow? I don't know how that's going to look. You can't tell me he's going to be nearly as effective as he has been. That kind of, to me, that puts the season for the Colts in peril. But the Ravens, the last three games, they've lost two out of the last three. The defense, which was the problem early in the season, is now playing elite. But now the offense is playing terrible. In the last three games, the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, zero touchdowns, three interceptions in the last three games. And then you got the Chiefs that last year they were 12-0 in one-score games. They were 15-2 record, but 12-0 in one-score games. This year, they're 0-6 in one-score games. They're 1-5 on the road. They've lost four out of their last five games. The Chiefs might be cooked. And then the Bills, they've lost two out of their last three games. They've given up 97 points on defense in the last three games. They have nine turnovers on offense, three each in the last three games. It's the first time that's happened in 20 years, and the Bills still have the Pats and the Eagles on their schedule. I think all those teams are not the Colts, I would think, but the Bills, Chiefs, and the Ravens are potentially not going to make the playoffs. And so that theoretically makes it an easier path for the Patriots.
Imagine Patrick Mahomes not making the playoffs. All those people that compared him to Tom Brady look so dumb.
I know. I mean, really, like it's that whole thing for them takes a major hit.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because they were on pace. I mean, they were really on pace for at least challenging it, you know, just the way that they were going right now and the way the rest of the AFC looked and these other teams like, you know, Jackson and Allen and these other like great quarterbacks in the AFC, reminiscent of the way no one could really touch Brady, you know, like it was the same kind of thing. And now, missing the playoffs, that takes a huge chunk out of that. But we do have, I'm not going to spoil it, but we do have something on that in the top 10 list, which is coming your way here in just a moment. So don't go anywhere. Here's Chris Scheim. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending. And up next, we have the top 10 list, my favorite segment in all of radio. That's next.
The coach and the quarterback are heard live here every Patriots Monday. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Oh, baby, the New England Patriots welcome in the New York Jets tomorrow night. They don't play today, heads up. They play tomorrow night. Monday Night Football kickoff for that one is at 8:15. Jackson Dart will be the starting quarterback for the Giants in that game as he is finally out of concussion protocol. Max Brosmer will be getting the start for the Vikings today as J.J. McCarthy is in concussion protocol in the 1 o'clock window. We have 49ers at Browns, Jaguars at Titans, Texans at Colts, Saints at Dolphins, Falcons at Jets, Cardinals at Buccaneers, and Rams at Panthers. In the 4 o'clock window, we have Vikings at Seahawks, Bills at Steelers, and the Raiders at the Chargers. On Sunday Night Football, we have the Denver Broncos taking on the Washington Commanders in D.C. Kickoff for that one is at 8:20. And update for you, triple header of football games here on WEEI for you today. In the 1 o'clock window, we'll have the Rams at Panthers for you right here on WEEI. In the 4 o'clock window, we have the Raiders at the Chargers right here on WEEI. And, of course, Sunday Night Football right here on WEEI. Again, kickoff for that one is at 8:20. In non-football news, your Boston Bruins beat the Red Wings in a shootout yesterday. Morgan Geekie had both goals for the Bees in regulation. He continues to stay hot as he keeps pace with Nathan MacKinnon for the league lead in goals scored in the NHL this season. They're both currently at 20 on the season. The Celtics are in Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers this evening. Tip-off is at 6. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was a concerning play. We'll get to the top 10 list here in just a minute, but we did sort of brush that thing off here. Christian Gonzalez got killed by Drake London. I mean, Drake London was all over him. A.D. Mitchell, if Fields could have put that placed that ball a little bit better, A.D. Mitchell probably has a touchdown and a bunch of yards against them. And you just saw Jamal Tinsley. What's his first name?
Mitchell.
Mitchell Tinsley. I keep thinking of that old Pacers point guard, Jamal Tinsley, every time I hear that name. But he burned them. And Flacco, I mean, it was a great throw by Flacco, but like, Gonzalez, I mean, this is a guy that you're going to have to make a decision about. You're going to have to make a decision about paying him top-of-the-line money, and I think they should do it, but I'm also not loving what I'm seeing from him this
year.
Well,
yeah, it's been weird because you pointed out the Carlton Davis at the end of the Bengals game. Gonzalez had a moment like that at the end of the Bills game where it's like he was awesome.
He had two, back-to-back.
Yeah, exactly.
He had the one in the very back of the end zone, and then he had a great tackle right after that.
Correct, yeah. And so there's been moments, but you're right, there have been times as well this season where it feels like receivers are almost getting, not whatever they want, but getting a lot against a guy who's supposed to be like a lockdown corner.
Yeah, I think it's so difficult with the, quote, lockdown corners because we only really notice them if it's, like, yeah, they're going up against somebody who's so high profile and they have them not have a productive day, or they really screw up. But when you screw up against Tinsley, that's where there's no excuses.
It's funny. I feel like we don't even talk about lockdown corners anymore, though.
Like they don't exist.
Sertan, I mean, that's about it.
Derek Stingley has been awesome this year for Houston.
I think the reason partly is because so many teams are playing cover two now. Because of the deep ball, so they, if you're playing cover two, you're not theoretically playing lockdown man to man. I think the game has changed. Can I give you my man, Mr. DVOA hole?
Yep, DVOA hole.
Okay, yes. To my DVOA hole brother over there. When it comes to Christian Gonzalez, if I was Christian Gonzalez's agent, I would tell the Patriots, oh, you don't want to pay him. Well, do you know, Patriots, that my client Christian Gonzalez, when he is out there, the Patriots have an excellent 81.2 coverage grade with him on the field. And when he is off the field, they have a coverage grade of 45.6.
Wow. That's a big difference.
I don't even know how that grade's done, but that's a lot. I mean, that's a big drop-off.
That is a big difference. So he's allowed, Gonzalez has allowed 52% completion percentage in coverage this season, according to Next Gen. That's the 11th. Lowest among 63 quarterbacks with at least 40 targets.
Well, all right.
And I think
so. Maybe we should all shut up, I guess.
Yeah, I think Ted makes a good point about playing a lot of cover two. And at the same time, like, I think what Christian Gonzalez does, it's like having a number one receiver. It just puts everybody else in the correct position on the field. Like Carlton Davis is the two, Marcus Jones is in the slot, and nobody is playing out of position with him on the field.
All right. Great point. Let's get to the top 10 list.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Top 10 list.
Okay, for the uninitiated, the top 10 list is pretty simple. Meg O'Shime and I are just going to fire questions at Ted. He's going to answer them all.
There's a lot of questions, so
a lot of questions.
Fire through them now.
We'll go through them as fast as we can. Okay. I'll go ahead and get things started. Ted, does this team, this Patriots team this year, remind you of any of the Patriots teams you played on?
No, not one. None of them. I tried to rack my brain. The profile of this team is very unique. A second-year quarterback with so many free agents that came in. It just really, none of the teams that I played on, the 0-1 team, there was a lot of established veterans already here. You had a long time quarterback incumbent in Drew Bledsoe. So no, it does not remind me of any team. It's uniquely its own team.
So seeing an NFC East team, when you were with the Patriots, were there any particular NFC teams that you just hated playing?
Yes. Yes. And they all come out of one division. Can you think what division I might have hated to play against?
I don't know.
So it would be the South. I hated playing at Carolina. I hated playing Atlanta. They called it the family friends game because that's all that showed up. and Tampa Bay, please. Oh, I played in Tampa Bay against Mike Allstott just a couple days after the stage diving incident. And I hate it's that place for that reason. So please, I do not want to play any NFC South teams. Nope.
All right, Ted, let's pivot away from football for a moment because I like to ask weird questions sometimes. New York tends to claim they have the best pizza in the world.
Oh,
but the pizza capitals really are New York, New Haven. I love a good South Shore bar pie here in Massachusetts. You got the Chicago deep dish. You got Detroit. Do you have a favorite type of pizza?
Oh, man, I'm a little bit not sure on all the pizza styles, but give me the Chicago deep dish, probably.
Okay.
That's probably my favorite of the ones that you said. Yes.
I love Chicago deep dish.
Do you?
I didn't think you were going to answer that one, but I'm glad.
So I haven't had like traditional Chicago deep dish because I haven't been to Chicago. So but like Lou Malnati's is the big one, right? Like, and it's like
Giordano's. Is another one. Yeah, there's a few.
I that's one of the ones I need to.
I was
to
born in Detroit, so I feel that I can say the Detroit style pizza is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Really? I kind of like
it. So bad.
They just glob the sauce on the top
gross.
Of it. It's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
There's a food truck that I have it has appeared at many craft breweries I've been to that does a Detroit style pie. And it's
Do you
good.
Feel it's following you?
No.
Following you around. All right, Ted, back to the list here.
Yeah.
Knowing what we know now,
yes.
If Abdul Carter was available at number 4, would you have drafted him over Will Campbell?
No, I would not. And I say that because I just think offensive line is so much more important, I'm sorry, than any position on defense, in my opinion, especially left tackle. And then also, Abdul Carter has half a sack. But he's high in pressure rate. Yeah. Okay. You get close a lot of times, but
tough
he's
to have
got
half
a sack. Half a sack.
True.
It's
my nickname at camp, old half sack.
Nice.
Go ahead, Megan.
What is your fondest Monday Night Football memory?
You know what? My favorite one, probably 1995. Can we go back to the Wayback Machine? 1995, I was coming off of a knee injury. We played the Buffalo Bills, and I was told it was the first Monday Night game the Patriots had hosted in 10 years because of all the fights in the stands, right? So we won that game, and I'll never forget, Robert Kraft sees me after the game, and he's, Teddy, I'm so glad you're back. He thought me coming back after my injury was the reason we won that game. And, hey, whatever you think, RKK. Hey, if that's what you think, fine. But that was my best memory was that first Monday night game I ever played in 1995 in a stadium that hadn't hosted a game in 10 years.
Noted Jackson Dart fan here. Ted, what kind of career do you think Jackson Dart's going to have?
It's going to go on the same track as maybe a Sam Darnold or a Daniel Jones or a Mac Jones, where his first team's not going to work out. It's not going to work out for him in New York. Already the coach that drafted him has already been fired. He'll go on to another team or another team and finally become the player he's meant to be.
The Giants are 2-10 this year. They do have one big upset win over the Eagles. If they beat the Patriots, that would be a big upset, Ted. What is the biggest upset that you've ever been on the losing side of?
Do you remember in 1997, I believe, we lost to the Steelers in the division round 7-6.
Yeah, right.
On the road. That was
Zolak?
No, it was Drew.
It was Drew. Okay.
Yeah, it was Drew. And they scored their touchdown in the first quarter. Cordell Stewart was left the pocket, and he was running up the sideline, and my boy Todd Collins went to push him out of bounds, and he didn't. He thought he was running out of bounds, and he missed him, and Cordell ran it to in for a touchdown. That was the only score they had, and they beat a 7-6. Vrabel sacked Bledsoe on the last play of the game to end the game.
Wow.
How about that?
Damn. Ted, I want you to be very honest here. What's the better city, Boston or New York?
I'm serious when I say Boston. I love Boston, and partly because I get overwhelmed in New York. It's too big. It's too much. There's too much. You know what I don't like about New York is if you're not somebody, you can't get a dinner reservation. You got to be somebody to get any cool place. Oh, you're not. Oh, okay. I don't like that. Boston, they know
you are somebody.
Yeah, that's coming from
not New
you.
York. I'm not New York.
That's coming
not.
From you.
In Boston.
Think about what it's like for us.
Very different in Boston. That's why Boston, here, they treat you like you're somebody. New York, not so much.
Ted, what's the deal with a week 14 bye? Is that too late in the season? What are we doing?
I don't mind it, Shyam, and I'll tell you why. They don't hit nearly as much as they used to. I think you can manage guys way better than you ever have because of that. So I just don't think you're as beat up as you used to be back in my day. So I would say I don't mind it being later in the season. I really don't. So it's not the same. They don't hit nearly as much. So I don't think having a bye late in the season right now is that big of a deal.
Ted, if Drake May was a Bronco and Bo Nix was a Patriot, what would their respective records be this year?
Oh, I would say the Broncos would be 11-0. What do you think, Sean? They're
11-0.
Yeah, with Sean Payton.
With
that
defense?
That's yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I'm saying I think that's like a very complete
so
team.
I think so.
Super Bowl favorites.
The two losses for the Broncos so far this year were early in the season, and they were back to back games were the Colts and the Chargers. So those are good teams. I still think the Broncos would be 11. They'd be the only undefeated team in the NFL.
And if you remember in that Colts game, they only lost that game because of that leverage call
right.
at the very end. So the Colts got to retry the field goal from like 10 yards closer and hit it.
That's the leverage call? What leverage call?
So there was it was a 50-something yard field goal that was missed, but the defender, Broncos defender, apparently got leverage off of a player.
Right.
And so they threw the flag. Indianapolis got to move 10 yards closer, kicked the field goal, and hit it to win.
Forgot about that. All right. So 11-0 and the Patriots would be what?
Oh, the Patriots would be
Bo Nix.
They would be probably 8-4, you know, 7-5.
And we'd say, look at them. They're being scrappy. They're good.
Better,
they're in
scrappy.
It.
8-4, I'd be like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we would.
Especially after last year, that's actually pretty good. I'd be fine with that.
All right.
Who's your favorite Giant of all time and your least favorite Giant? Now, this doesn't have to just be the New York Football Giants. You could talk about, you know, Jolly Green Giants.
Okay.
You could go anywhere.
San Francisco Giants.
Well, I didn't realize that. But I'll go. My favorite is Bavaro. Mark Bavaro. I wanted to be Mark Bavaro. He's one of the classiest people ever. And he was, I loved Mark Bavaro. I wanted to be him one day. And
that was a very Belichickian answer, by the way, was it not? Belichick loved Bavaro. Loved Bavaro.
He's awesome. He is soft spoken. But he's just this big, just athletic super freak. And then also Strahan. I'm a big fan of Mike Strahan. Like Mike. Least favorite? Tiki Barber got kind of – he bugged me. He was a bugger.
That's an Odyssey guy.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Is he? Oh, sorry.
That's
is he
the
still
afternoon
radio?
Show over at WFAN. Yeah.
Yeah, just – I don't know. Like, just – he was –
ooh, radio war incoming.
I love it. Let's
show
do it.
Wars. Ted Johnson versus Tiki.
No. I'm just, he's a nice guy, right? I don't know.
Tiki Barber compared himself to Anne Frank once. That was pretty
awesome. Wait, did he really?
I don't know.
In what context?
Because he was dating someone and he said they had to hide in an attic like Anne Frank or something. Because he didn't want to be like seen out in public.
Oh no.
It was very inappropriate. And it was a long time ago too. I probably shouldn't have brought that up, but he did do that once.
Is he still on radio? I haven't seen him in forever, but he's still out there, huh?
Maybe getting, if he is, maybe getting a phone call after that. Anyways, all right. Next. Are we on the
Ted, we talked about Christian Gonzalez briefly. Would you give him a top-of-the-line cornerback contract right now, this very moment?
I wouldn't, and for all the reasons I just told you. The difference between him on the field versus off the field is a stark difference. This defense is just way better when he's on there. So even though he has some lapses in his, just his effort, he's still an elite quarterback, and those guys are hard to find. So, yes, pay that man his money.
Okay. This is a sore spot here, but I have to ask the question, Ted, how did Tom Coughlin beat the Patriots in two Super Bowls?
Man, I don't know. Eli Manning and Michael Strahan? I don't know. Like, that's it's incredible that he was able to do that. But I just think that that defensive line was elite. And, you know, they had, you know what? They weren't intimidated by the Patriots, right? It was just Coughlin wasn't intimidated by Bill. Eli wasn't intimidated by Tom. And that's why they won.
Can I just toss in a quick follow-up question specifically because you mentioned Eli? Is he a Hall of Famer, do you think?
No.
I saw the semifinalists come out. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so, but he will get in there. Did you ever at one time ever consider him top five at his position?
Never.
Never once.
Not even a little bit.
So
he's really good on that broadcast, though.
I'm not even
being sarcastic. He's funny.
And the strengths of those teams weren't the defense?
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, he made some incredible plays, yeah. But I don't know. Were there enough plays to make it Hall of Fame worthy? I'd say no. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Fun fact for you here, if you want to use it later in any conversation you have.
Oh, thank you.
You can credit me. Drew Brees has as many 5,000-yard passing seasons as Eli Manning does double-digit win seasons. So there you go.
There you go.
Five each.
He's funny in those Jersey Mike's commercials.
He's great.
With Danny DeVito. Yes, I like those.
He's good on TV.
Yeah.
I think his last four seasons were losing records.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. That can't be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
So we were talking earlier about the current state of the Chiefs. Do you still feel like the Mahomes-Andy Reid duo are a threat to the Brady-Belichick records?
You know, I'd say no. Mahomes looks beat up, you know, tired. Like, he's still got 10 more years to go if you want to, you know, catch Tom. And Tom had weapons in his first iteration of the dynasty, and then whole new weapons in the second. Is he going to get another Kelsey? Is he going to get another great wide receiver or slot receiver like Tom had? A great third down back like Tom had? I don't see it. I think there's an argument to be made where Andy Reid is a better coach than Bill Belichick.
I agree.
He went to five NFC championship games with Donovan McNabb and then has gone to six AFC championship games with Patrick Mahomes. He's done it with two different quarterbacks. The Super Bowls aren't there, but I think you can make a case that Andy Reid will catch Bill. I think he may be even in wins, right? So he's going to – I think Reid will catch Bill. I just don't think Mahomes is going to come close to touching Tom.
I want to know what that Chiefs training staff did with Tyquan Thornton to keep him healthy. Like, dude would like collapse on a staircase and like break two bones here at the start of every season.
Juju Smith-Schuster,
and out there,
too,
he's like – getting hit and getting back up. I'm like, how does that happen?
Does he look like he looks like a little kid. Like, he's so skinny out there.
Tiny.
They got a bunch of little guys. Hollywood Brown's a little guy. Like, yeah. They got
Xavier Worthy's little.
Bunch of Smurfs out there.
Pancheco or whatever.
Pacheco. Can I ask a serious question? Is Xavier Worthy actually fast? He doesn't look fast when he runs. Like, he set, like, some combine record.
I think he's actually fast, yeah.
I think he's fast.
Okay. I'm just asking. Like,
is that a serious question?
Yeah. When I watch him play in a football game, I don't think he's all that much faster than other guys. Yet, at the combine, he ran, like, a 4-2.
Well, there's combine speed, there's game speed.
Yeah.
Everyone says that. Game speed's a different thing, right?
Maybe that's it. But I love the visual of Shime sitting on his couch being like, I don't know if this Xavier Worthy is actually that fast.
Probably not that fast.
And then the pizza truck is driving by their house looking for, where's he going next?
It's the meme of the guy on the couch, white t-shirt, stands on the t-shirt, eating food, like, I could do what he's doing.
Could Xavier Worthy outrun the food truck that's chasing me around? Here's a question, Ted. Who is the best New York athlete of all time?
I'm going to say, where did I have this? Here we go. You know what? I would say, well, you got Mickey Mantle, you got DiMaggio, you got Babe Ruth, you got Jeter, but I'm going to go with LT. That's my favorite.
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Greatest New York athlete of all time. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
You and Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
I love those, but Bill Parcells, you mean? Yeah. That's was the coach of the Giants then. And he drafted me, and so I've always had an affinity for those Giants teams.
Do you want to like be like Lawrence Taylor when you were growing up?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think. Like, he was retired after you got drafted.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
When did he retire? In, like, the late 80s or early 90s, maybe?
92, 93.
Okay, yeah. So it wasn't that. I mean, it wasn't that much of a.
Who's yours?
Who was my favorite,
New York
athlete?
Yeah.
For me, it would probably be, I really liked Bernard King on the Knicks. He was always a guy I just really liked when I was like in my formative years watching the NBA. He was the one like New York player that I liked.
I was a fan of all the Yankees. I liked Patrick Ewing.
Ewing's a local
Ewing.
Guy too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charles Oakley.
Ewing, I feel like he was, I don't know. The New York fans were just so mean to him. I couldn't bear it.
I mean, he gave him a reason to be. It's unfair. To him, though. That's true.
It might be a cop out because he also played here. I love Darrell Revis. He was awesome. Revis he was awesome. So good.
Real quick, before can we do my favorite New York song?
Sure.
Go ahead, Thomas. Hit my new
favorite New York song.
Favorite New York song. Here we go.
No.
Nice.
Sleep till Brooklyn.
There you go.
Huh? No. Sleep till Brooklyn.
Let's go.
This
Beastie
is a great
voice.
New York song. All right. That is the top TED list here on a football Sunday. Ted Johnson surviving the onslaught of questions. That means there's only one thing left to do, and that is to get real greasy. It's time to take a look at all these games here in the 1 o'clock hour and the 4 o'clock hour and Sunday night and tomorrow night. Lots and lots of football. We're going to get real degenerate coming up now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. No, Mac, we haven't. Well, one of us has, and he's here for this segment, Woo! Which is never the case. Teddy's here, and he's going to help navigate us through these Sunday games. And, of course, tonight, good matchup. Tomorrow night, we got all the good teams playing and some really awful games this week as well. So without any further ado, Teddy riding alongside. Mago, what do we got today?
Okay, let's just start with our game here because it's Monday night, so it could take a while for us to get to. New York Giants at the New England Patriots. Shime, who you got here?
Yeah, I like the Patriots. I don't love the hook. It's 7.5 is the spread on this game. I don't love that hook. It feels kind of trappy. I feel like the Giants could easily kind of like backdoor cover this at the end of the game. I do like the over in this game, though. 46.5. The Patriots, to me, have felt like an over machine the majority of the year. So I will go. That's my pick in this game, over 46.5. If you're making me pick a team, I'll take the Patriots.
So as far as the steam is concerned on this one, the hook is scaring some people off, but not that many. 54% of the bets are on the Giants to cover. Only 49% of that money is, so it's split about 50-50. That being said, I think I'm going to go with Big Blue here. It's 7.5. That hook's too scary for me. Wow. More than a touchdown. I just don't feel like the Patriots with 40% of their offensive line missing is a touchdown favorite. I don't love that number.
And I don't know what a hook means, but I'm going to say the Patriots, please, this is going to be a runaway. They win by at least 2 touchdowns. So
okay.
It's not going to be close.
Appreciate
that's
it.
Always right. So we're screwed.
What are you, 10-2 this year?
10-2.
Hell yeah.
Just
brother.
Like the team.
Let's get into today and all the awful games. We're going to start with the 49ers at the Cleveland Browns. Arcan, who you like here? Shador?
Okay, so Shador with plus 5.5 is the number that I see. I know it's 5 in some of the books, but at 5.5 there, I think that Shador is going to have a tough game. I do. But I also think that Brock Purdy and the Niners against that Cleveland defense, you're probably going to see a pretty low-scoring game. I think the total is like 35.
Correct.
And I think that Cleveland can get within 5.5. I do. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game, but it's going to be a weather game. They run the ball pretty well. I think this could be a low-scoring, close one.
Yeah, I don't think Shadur is a major factor in this. I do think the Cleveland Browns defense is a massive factor. They are nasty at home, and Jim Schwartz is 9-1 against Kyle Shanahan as either an offensive coordinator or head coach. So I will take the Browns and the points in this one.
It's crazy that the Browns average like 17 points, giving up 17 points at home versus on the road. It's like 31.
Yep.
But having said that, the 49ers are going to blow them away. Christian McCaffrey, guys, I heard this the other day. Christian McCaffrey averages 116 yards from scrimmage yards in a game in his career. Only third behind Barry Sanders and Jim Brown.
He might have 1,000 yards receiving and rushing this year.
That's insane.
Let's look at our AFC matchup here. We have the Texans at the Colts. Shime, I'll start with you.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, broken fibula, and the Texans have the best defense in football. I will take the Texans as dogs in this one in Indianapolis. I think the AFC South is about to experience massive, massive chaos with those three teams at the top being the Texans, Colts, and Jaguars. So give me the Texans plus the points.
All the money's with that as well. 61% of the bets, 82% of the money is on Houston to cover that 3.
Yep.
So that's sort of where I am with this too. I feel like that's just too big of a swing to ignore, and the fact that the Colts, even at home, are going to be dealing with a shaky quarterback situation. The Texans defense is on fire. I can't not pick
like
that.
My thought is if Riley Leonard comes into this game, so if Riley Leonard was starting this game,
yeah,
the Houston Texans are favored, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I'm taking the Texans.
I'm taking the Texans as well.
Okay, let's move on to a terrible game. Saints at Dolphins. Arcan, what do you like here?
Yeah, well, I have to go to me for this one. I don't really like anything about this game, but I think the Dolphins are a team that's looked competent lately, and it's not a big spread. 5.5, if it was a touchdown or more, I might think differently, but I think the Dolphins can take care of business at home against the Saints team. They're not very good.
I think the Dolphins have been pretty good. I think my favorite bet in this game, though, Taysom Hill to score a touchdown.
Okay.
Plus 195. He's basically their goal line quarterback. They take out Tyler Shuck when they're inside the 10 and bring in Taysom Hill. I love it. Give me Taysom Hill to score a touchdown plus 195.
Can the Patriots get him, by the way?
That'd be nice.
Yeah, something on the 1 yard line.
Yeah, they won't take it. They won't sneak Drake May. They'll sneak Taysom Hill.
Let's keep moving along here. The team that you guys said was the one great team in the NFL this year, that's the Rams. They're going to be at the Panthers. I'll start with you, Shem.
Yeah, easy money. Lay the 10. I'll take the Rams all day, every day, and 100 times on Sunday. Give me the Rams by 10.
I like this, but I feel like I like it too much. Like, I like your pick too much. I feel like this is one of those what-do-they-know kind of picks here, but I'm sort of with it. There's two games this week where I don't think there's a number big enough. This is one of them. Give me the Rams, and I'll lay the 10.
West Coast teams going to the East Coast on a 1 o'clock kick used to be mean something. Yep. It doesn't anymore.
No. The Seahawks are awesome at it.
Yeah. So, you know, having said that, and I don't know if you've seen Matthew Stafford play lately, but he's amazing. So give me the Rams and the points.
Probably a good call. All right, let's go to also down south. Jags at Titans. Arcan, what do you like here?
Okay, again, not much to like here. I hate this game. I wouldn't bet this unless we weren't doing this segment. But with the Jaguars, -5.5 or -6, depending on where you get that number, all the money's on them, almost too much of it. It makes me just want to go Titans. It's a division game. Titans are a home dog. Give me the Titans +6.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Harkand. Cam Ward looked better against the Seahawks than I thought he had all season, which may be a little bit of hope. I like the over, 42.5. I think this will be kind of a higher scoring game, so I'll take the over, 42.5.
I'm sitting this one out. Don't feel good about it. I'm not really sure where I want to go, so I'm sitting it out.
I don't blame you at all. Shime, I'll start with you on this next one. Cardinals at the Bucks.
Yeah, give me Jacoby Brissett +4.5. I just, the Buccaneers are so banged up. I know Baker's playing today, but he was in a sling all week in his non-throwing shoulder. Give me the Cardinals +4.5 in this game.
I feel like this is a get-right game for Tampa in a way, and Arizona hasn't always been the get-right team to play against, but they're on the road. I feel like there's a lot of magic pixie dust with them and Jacoby Brissett. It's got to wear off eventually, and that Bucs defense, I think, might be the team to do it. We'll see. I may end up regretting this, but I'll go with Tampa -3.5.
I'm going with Tampa as well. I just think, you know, golly, the Jacoby Brissett, man, he can flash, but boy, he can go down in a blaze of glory, too, and I think he will in this game.
Last game in this 1 p.m. window, the Falcons at the Jets. Shime?
Am I dumb? I kind of like the Jets. Ooh. I'll take the Jets +3. I think Kirk Cousins stinks, so I'll take the Jets +3.
I kind of like the Jets here, too. I hate this game. I don't want to bet. There's 4 games on here that I just would not even talk about if I didn't have to. This is definitely one of them. Give me the Falcons. I can't pick the Jets.
Wow. Yep. Yep. Okay. Good. I was wondering. This is my pick of the week for on the WEI afternoons, and I got the Falcons in this one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Kirk Cousins, 1 o'clock. He's much better at 1 o'clock than any other time.
Really?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, that's our cue. I think that's about we got through the 1 o'clock window.
Good enough.
So
all right.
Let's do it.
That's all we got. Ted Johnson, Chris Schein, Megan Ottolini. I'm Christian Arcan. Thomas behind the glass. Great job as always. We'll be back next Sunday. Enjoy the football, Patriots, tomorrow night, and enjoy the rest of your day. We got a triple header here, so keep it right here on WEEI. We got football for you all day long. Enjoy. Bye bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.